Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Eid Mubarak, and welcome back to Extra Shot, the weekly pod spilling the funniest stories in sport. This week, Loris Karius is rejected from Berghain, and Matt Letitia uncovers the shape-shifting lizards behind April's rainy weather. I'm Jack Rivlin, and I'm joined by Zach Sweeney Lynch.
Hello, Jack.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah. Enjoying the unpredictable weather.
Yeah, there's not much rhyme or reason to it.
Yeah, I've been growing very suspicious, to be honest.
Well, we've got some theories, as we'll come on to, courtesy of Matt Letitia. But do you want to kick us off with Loris Karius first?
Yeah, so I think ever since his nightmare in the 2018 Champions League final, Loris Karius has been a bit of a comedy character. He's hardly played any football for the last couple of years. He did a spell warming the bench at Union Berlin, and he's been doing the same at Newcastle for the past couple of years. But on the plus side, he has launched a pretty successful modelling career and got engaged to Diletta Liotta, the Italian sports reporter who you may recognise as, she's one of about, sort of, I'd say about 20 or 30 sort of sport adjacent hot women who the Sun and the Daily Star ogle every time they post a bikini snap on Insta. Yeah,
or anything.
Really. Or anything, really. Yeah. She is very attractive, yeah. I'd say.
As is Loris, it should be said.
He's a good looking guy, yeah.
I kind of assume, yeah, Diletta Liotta would be with a more A-list footballer. Maybe that's...
Yeah, I don't know.
Shallow.
I don't know how they met.
Was he in Italy? No.
No, he wasn't.
Maybe. Yeah, well done. Yeah. Being third choice keeper at Newcastle, you're not expecting to be with one of the Sun's favourite hotties.
Yeah, he's doing well for himself. But, you know, as a bit of a power couple, I think Diletta and Loris are used to having the red carpet rolled out for them. You know, they'll rock up at booked out Michelin restaurants and the waiters will clear the normies out so that they can get a seat by the window. But unfortunately, that A-list treatment did not extend to their visit to Berghain, the infamous Berlin techno club, where Loris and Diletta were rejected over the weekend. So according to Bild, the German newspaper, Diletta sent a message to a friend of hers describing this night out that they had in Berlin, and that she really wanted to go check out Berghain. It's pretty infamous. But when they sort of queued up with the regular punters and got to the front, and they were faced by Sven, the heavily tattooed bouncer, who's pretty famous in his own right, and he gave them a swift no.
It's just a shake of the head.
Yeah, I think that's, you barely even get a word out of him.
Yeah,
really,
he's an enigma.
Yeah,
much like Loris Karius.
True. Yeah, so Diletta blamed it on a yellow coat that she was wearing.
Oh, because everyone says wear dark colours, don't they?
Yeah, I to be honest, I think that's a little bit overhyped, really, this obsession. But
so what, but Loris Karius was not wearing a sort of like dick pouch, assless chaps and some pierced
a mask, yeah.
Prince Albert.
I think he would have done better with
what
that.
What was he wearing?
So she posted a picture on Instagram of their night out, and he's, we're looking at the picture now, so Loris is wearing this sort of baggy white t-shirt and red tinted sunglasses, and it looks like he's got like a camera around his neck. It looks like he's going to like a EDM party.
Yeah, he looks a bit like he's in a Top Man advert. The glasses. It's the stupid footballer glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's probably a bit tall. I know that sounds stupid, but it just sort of makes you look a bit jockey.
Yeah, he's built.
Yeah, there's not much you can do about that.
No. But
and is she maybe a bit too conventionally attractive?
She looks, I don't know. She's got a nice outfit on, sort of glittery black dress.
But if you're Sven, are you letting them in?
I don't think they've got the vibe, to be honest.
To clarify, have you got it? You used to live in Berlin, didn't you?
Oh, don't bring this up. I have been rejected, I think, twice, maybe. Okay. I did actually go to Panorama Bar, which is like the one. So there's Burgern and Panorama Bar are like attached to each other. But on a Friday, it's only Panorama Bar is open.
Oh, so you can't use that to then get into Burgern?
You can on a Saturday and Sunday, it's like one entry.
So you have to get past Sven.
I still got past the bouncer.
So you got past Sven? Or was he not?
Sven was off shift that weekend.
Conveniently. Yeah. I went and was rejected by... Sven wasn't there again. Early,
yeah.
I was rejected by some other guy.
Yeah, I've been rejected by...
I would say in my defence, it was probably about... It was daylight. It was probably about 7 a.m.
Yeah,
I was a little bit spanked. There was no queue.
No, I've never been... bothered to queue up. Like if you go prime time on a Saturday night, then it's queue for like 2 or 3 hours, which, to be honest, when you've got maybe a 10% chance of getting in, I'm not fucking giving up 2 hours of my Saturday night.
Yeah, is that how bad the odds are?
I have no idea, actually.
Yeah,
Elon Musk already got rejected as well.
Good.
It's like 2022.
I feel like that the last bloke who's going to be bringing the vibe in a gay sex club with world-class techno music, Elon fucking Musk. Yeah.
Britney Spears as well got rejected. I can see Britney.
Yeah, I think in her now crazy phase.
Yeah.
Previously, she's a bit too bubblegum.
Maybe, yeah.
You need a bit more darkness about you, don't you?
Yeah.
Lady
Gaga got in.
Is it? I mean, like, obviously... You know, there's some amazing music there and it's quite the experience, but is it Diletta Leotta and Loris Carice's vibe in there?
I don't really think so.
My understanding is, obviously you said Panorama Bar, which is like maybe the like less frightening bit, but is it right that the deeper you go below ground level, the more sort of sordid it gets at Burgern?
I wish I could tell you from experience, but yeah, I think there's definitely some dark corners.
Yeah.
Where
I've been consulting with a couple of regular Upshot guests who make it their business to explore the dark corners of slightly sordid sex dungeons. So Mickey says he went and he sat in a cinema chair in a bit, apparently there's a bit below the ground called The Lab, which is like where the sex parties go down. He said, I just watched two guys fucking for a while. And he also...
Just watched.
Yeah, I'm just watching, he claims. He also sent... apparently they have really imaginative club nights in the lab. So they have, on Thursday, it's naked sex party, dress code fully naked, shoes only. On Friday, it's...
what kind of shoes are you wearing?
Shoes only is the funny bit.
Do wear shoes, please. I don't want you cutting your foot. On Friday, it's Friday fuck 2 for 1. No dress code, double drinks.
I was there on a Friday. I didn't get any 2 for 1.
You weren't down in the lab in the cinema seat. And then on Sunday is Yellow Facts, which is no dress code, piss and fuck. So just a piss fight. And on the subject of piss, so JP sent me a text about an encounter that his friend Pig had in the basement at Burgern. I'm just going to read it out. He said, okay, so there was a piss worship guy who was allowed in the Burgern loos. He's famous but dead now. Apparently he's called the Piss Goblin. He said, we were there on a Sunday, went for a piss in the downstairs loo after about 10 hours in. The Piss Goblin came from underneath the urinal and said, pleesh, pish, pleesh, which sounds more Dutch than German to me. He's half naked and literally lying on the floor. We were all like, fuck off. And Pig, who is the straightest northern guy ever, just got his knob out and pissed in his mouth and on him for an absolute age. The urinal guy was moaning and stuff.
I think someone called Pig is made for Burgern and the Piss Goblin.
There's a lot to enjoy there.
So what's this bit about the piss guy came from underneath the urinal?
Sort of rolled from underneath.
Rolling. So he doesn't have like, I'm picturing him having his little cabin. Yeah.
A hovel. I mean, it would be fitting for a
goblin. Does he live there a week?
What I was wondering is this guy, I'm guessing he's Dutch from that. The way they've written pleesh, pish, please, or they've just misdescribed German accent. What do you reckon his job is?
I don't know.
He's dead
now. But. Yeah, that would be pretty funny if you realised the very straight guy in accounting.
Yeah,
you pop into Burgern on the weekend and it's like, wait, Steve, is that...
Works at Deloitte normally. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, he's a mythical figure, apparently. And then in my research, I read on Reddit that apparently now the Goblin's no longer with us, that now Berghain pay someone to do that role.
Yeah.
Which is just, I guess that answers the what's his job question.
What do you think the job interview for that was like?
Oh, it's a practical, yeah. I think. So yeah. Sorry, that's pretty grim. I've said the word piss.
Yeah, I can't really imagine that being Loris Karras' vibe.
Yeah, or Diletta Liotta's vibe. Yeah.
Also, actually, other question I've got about this, isn't Loris Karras is on the books at Newcastle. Yeah. I mean, like, I know he's not been playing much, but still.
And also, he's second choice because Nick Pope's been injured.
I mean, should he not have been on the bench?
He played in the League Cup final last year and he played in the Champions League this season.
Should he really be stumbling out of Berghain at 11 a.m. on a Monday morning? What's Eddie Howe's face going to be like? He sees that
midweek game with Wolves, mate. What are you doing? Yeah, I guess it's just another chapter in a slightly unusual career.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it sort of adds to his comedy figure lifestyle, really.
Yeah. Right. It's pretty funny weather we've been having recently, Zach, isn't it?
It has, yeah. Zach. It's been neither here nor there.
Yeah, it's a bit of sun, bit of showers, which I guess is just typical April, right? Wrong! The rainy start to 2024 is in fact further evidence that our lives are controlled by a shady cabal of malevolent puppeteers. And that is according to Matt Letitia, anyway.
I knew it.
Yeah. Matt has popped up with an excellent tweet. He said this week, "This year's weather so far has been horrific. Wasn't it lucky for the government that 4 years ago when they locked us down, we had wall-to-wall sunshine for weeks on end? It's almost like they planned it that way." So I think Matt Letizia is suggesting that the government control the weather and they made it sunny during lockdown to distract people from losing all their human rights.
Is that going to distract people though? Surely, if you want people to stay inside, then just make it rain.
Yeah, I think on balance, it was good that it was sunny in lockdown, but it was also pretty fucking annoying that you couldn't go out and enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're stuck at home. Or is he suggesting that they are now making it showery in April, which, by the way, is standard April weather. Yeah. April showers, there's a phrase for it. Is he suggesting that that is part of a conspiracy to distract us from something else, to keep us at home?
So what? So they're making it unpredictable. They made... I don't know, that doesn't make any sense. Well, like, what are they distracting?
They could be using weather control to keep people home so that they don't go out and protest against lockdown that happened 4 years ago. Look, I'm just asking questions. It's a pretty funny coincidence.
It does make you think.
Does make you think.
I do remember during the Beijing Olympics, there was this thing. I don't know if it was true or not. Maybe it was a rumour that they had some sort of thing that they could shoot into the clouds to make it rain because they wanted to make sure that it didn't rain on the day of the opening
ceremony. Because release it all.
So they like fired something into the clouds to clear the air, basically.
I mean,
so
if we could do that, surely we would do it more often for Wimbledon.
Yeah.
The cricket.
Yeah, it'd be good for the cricket, having been to two washed out days in the past. Anyway, Letitia, obviously loads of people were like, what are you even saying? And you know, Matt Letitia's whole vibe is like, he never says, this is my opinion. He's like, I'm just asking questions, you know? Someone replied to him and he said, this is my stance. She said, human weather modification is a fact and has been admitted to. I've no idea if this explains the appalling weather we've experienced in the UK, but after the last 4 years of lies, we should keep an open mind and not rule anything out.
Mm.
So that's the sort of nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Yeah. Kind of feel like it's a bit harsh on the Met Office. Letitia, he's previously gone for slightly more hardcore theories. He warned of an imminent communist takeover. Mm. He claimed dying COVID patients on the news were actors. But I like how every so often he just resorts to something that's a bit more of just an everyday domestic gripe. Like, this is basically just grumbling about the weather repackaged as a conspiracy theory, right?
Yeah. Is this an existing conspiracy theory or is this one that Matt made at home?
Oh, Letitia's
one I made earlier.
A rare beast. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, his do tend to be a bit more domestic than the bigger ones. My favourite was Letitia explaining that his favourite tipple is Malibu. But he made this out to be some kind of brave stand against the discourse-controlling hegemony of big beer. He said, I drink Malibu, something that came in for a lot of criticism in a dressing room full of butch macho footballers. 14 pints of lager and a Malibu and Coke, please. You have to be quite a strong character.
Yeah. I mean, fair play, that is...
Even that was some, like, brave Matrix red pill moment. Malibu. He sort of like reimagined his whole life as this maverick stand against.
Yeah, do you remember when that whole furore kicked off over Gary Lineker having political opinions, basically? How dare he? And all of the other like pundits refused to go on TV, blah, blah, blah. And Matt Letizia came out and was like, where was this camaraderie when I was suspended from Sky Sports 2 years ago or whatever?
He specifically targeted Ian Wright. He goes, Wrighty, don't remember you taking a stand for me. Ian Wright didn't even work for Sky. He couldn't have taken a stand.
And also, I think that the reasons why Sky dropped you and the BBC dropped Gary Lineker are slightly different. Gary Lineker's not peddling COVID conspiracies. Yeah,
didn't claim 9/11 was an inside job. Now, probably the big sports personality of the week has been Russ Cook, a.k.a. Hardest Geezer. He's the fella who has run the entire length of Africa in 350 days. An amazing feat. He survived armed robberies, crippling back pain. At one point, he was kidnapped by machete-wielding Congolese thugs. Sounded pretty intense. Pretty amazing. And then as he approached the final stage, he had to complete the small matter of crossing the Sahara Desert. Mm. And there was a really good video of him like manically screaming as he ran through a sandstorm with goggles. And, you know, he's this pretty striking guy. He's emaciated by this point. Mm. He's got a big ginger beard. I saw a comment on the video saying, imagine never having seen a white person in your whole life, just hearing about them. And then one day you see a snarling, crazed ginger man running in a sandstorm. That's how ghost stories start. Love that. Anyway, he emerged from the sandstorm on Sunday to stagger towards the finish line in Tunisia. And a crowd of well-wishers joined in pursuit. So there's like this great shot of him approaching the finish line. There's this big gang following him. But the big moment was slightly sullied by the absolute arsehole who joined the Hardest Geezer for the last 50 metres and then beat him across the finish line. So obviously listeners will need to look at the clip. I'll drop a link. But this guy just like insists on crossing the line with him.
Yeah, and he's carrying a big Tunisian flag as well. So the video of the geezer actually crossing the finish line is obscured by this big flag. There's no actual footage of the achievement.
Yeah, he's literally run 10,000 miles. He's done like two
this
marathons
guy's
a day
for the last 25.
Stolen thunder. I actually think Russ is probably not the sort of bloke to care. I saw a really good quote from him on day 200 after doctor basically said, like, you've got extreme back pain. You probably need to rest. And Russ said, the only option left was to stop mincing about like a little weasel, get the strongest painkillers available, and zombie stomp the road again. So I mean, he's a hard bastard. Yeah. Give him credit. It's an amazing thing. And there's some nice footage. He had a big old party to celebrate. He said, I want a strawberry daiquiri at the finish line.
Yeah, there was a great picture of him sitting on this throne looking very emaciated, to be honest. Like clutching this strawberry daiquiri to his mouth, which is sort of sagging.
Mates joined, didn't they?
Yeah, so Josh and Jibs, two of my mates, flew out there to Tunisia and did the last marathon with him, which, yeah, it's pretty nice. Like, I just got a call from Josh on Thursday night, like, yeah, mate, I just booked flights to Tunisia. I'm going out tomorrow. Like, he'd never run a marathon before. And, just flew out there and ran a marathon in the desert with him.
Presumably a marathon in the desert is a lot harder than, you know, a poxy London marathon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're in extreme heat.
Yeah, it was
on
like
sand.
30 plus degrees, I think.
Do we know his time?
Yeah.
I don't know his time, actually. Yeah. He joined the marathon, didn't spoil the photo finish.
No, didn't spoil the photo finish.
And then joined the party.
Yeah, joined the party. So they had this this big party at a hotel, I think, afterwards. There's like a pool there, a band played, soft play, and yeah, they just had like a big party, it looks like.
Nice. Something about a whirlpool and a swimming pool.
Yeah, so hoping for some unhinged antics for the party. Josh sent me a voice note.
The after party was Jake's as well, yeah. We got there, I didn't realise there was a swimming pool there, so kind of like, I got to the front of the crowd, saw the swimming pool, and I was like, what the fuck is going on in it? Absolute sausage fest in there. And they were doing like a play circle pit. It was jokes. To be fair to them, they did actually make a good whirlpool. And it was mad. It had a good bit of current on it. Everyone was just jumping in. I think Russ's missus jumped in at one point. Fully clothed, actually. Everyone was just jumping in with their fucking clothes on. Like, they're definitely going to have to change that water after. It was pretty hectic.
Yeah, it's not quite cocaine. And
To be fair, he's just run 10,000 miles, so... Yeah.
Whirlpool does sound good.
Yeah, it is fun.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. That's great. I think his target at the start was to raise £1 million. I don't know if he's got that yet. Like, halfway through, he'd only raised 100 grand, and everyone was saying, fuck, is he gonna hit the target? But I think he's... gonna get there. Do donate. Google Hardest Geezer donate. If you're a fan.
We'll put a link in the description.
Yeah. One bloke who probably won't be chucking a tenner in is Danish political scientist Jesper Olsen, who claims that Russ was not the first person to run the length of Africa. So Jesper claims that he himself is the second person to do it, having done it in 2010. He complained via an organization called the World Runners Association, which has 7 members and sounds like it might have been founded last week. Exists only as a WhatsApp group. But anyway, Jesper scoffed at Russ for having several days off and said, "It's a bit as if a half marathon runner pretends that no one has run a marathon," which I think is a bit harsh just because he had some rest days.
Yeah.
And actually, Jesper ran 2,000 miles less than the hardest geezer, and it took him 450 days. So he must have had loads of rest days. I think he mentioned another guy who did it without any rest breaks.
Yeah, there was another guy who's in the 1998 Guinness Book of World Records, I think, for doing it. But yeah, we looked at the route that they ran, and it wasn't as far as Russ, and also they didn't go coast to coast, which was quite odd. So like the very first guy to do it ran all the way from, I think he started in South Africa as well somewhere, and then ran all the way to the pyramids in Egypt, which is literally like 100 miles from the coast, I think, which you do think, you've like run all the way from South Africa, you may as well just do the last.
Get to the sea. Now I'll get a cab.
Yeah.
Can't be fucked with that. Yeah, so Russ has run, he's the only person who's run from the northernmost to the southernmost point. And he's run the furthest by like 2,000 miles. So I think it is valid to say it's the record. Yeah. Jesper doesn't agree. He said, "This isn't about putting attention on myself, but to put the right scale on things and hopefully inspire people." Of course it is.
It's really going to inspire people. See, this guy's dedicated a year of his life to run 10,000 miles. And as soon as he finishes, you're just throwing shade on it. Inspiring.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Do you see this week, Graham Potter turned down the Ajax job?
I did. I was quite surprised.
I was surprised as well. It kind of seemed like a match made in heaven, really. Like Ajax are obviously a very historic European heavyweight. They've got this famed academy. Graham Potter as well is a very cultured coach with European experience, and he's also looking to rebuild his reputation. So I thought it seemed a good match. I could really see him sort of strolling the canals of Amsterdam, stroking his beard and popping along to a symposium on Vermeer at the Rijksmuseum, polishing his collection of 17th century Delft earthenware. So what might have put Graham off this dream job, you might be wondering. And the short answer is that Ajax are shit at the moment. So at the weekend, they lost 6-0 to their hated rivals, Feyenoord. So it's their worst ever defeat in the Eredivisie. And they're sixth at the moment.
Sixth,
which for Ajax is pretty
Have they got any big names anymore? Jordan Henderson?
Chuba Akpom?
Oh, yeah. Was Jordan Henderson playing in the...
No, he was injured, I think.
Right.
Yeah, he wasn't even on the bench. No, I think they're... I don't know, it's definitely not the Ajax of old.
Yeah.
They're also in a bit of a sticky situation because their new CEO, was suspended last week after being he's suspected of insider trading. So apparently he bought 17,000 Ajax shares last year, 1 week before he was appointed, at which point the share price rose. And so basically I think the reason that the share price went up is because them appointing a CEO was just sort of a symbol of stability. They'd like filled the vacancy and he knew the price would go up. But it's insider trading because he obviously knew that he was about to get the job.
Has he been convicted?
He's been suspended now, right. pending investigation, I think. But yeah, you can kind of see from Graham Potter's perspective, it doesn't seem like the best run ship.
Yeah, and they had the Mark Overmars.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a bit of financial fraud is pretty vanilla compared to what Mark Overmars got up to. So he was the old director of football and he was sacked after bombarding his colleagues with dick pics.
They nicknamed him Guile Neef, which means horny cousin in Dutch.
Dirty Uncle Mark, I think was his other nickname. So yeah, basically Ajax is a shit show really at the moment. Anyway, I don't know how Alex Kroes, the insider trader, thought that he'd get away with it because Dutch football is absolutely crawling with cops. So do you remember Ian Dizou? He used to play for Wigan.
Yeah.
You might remember from his spell at Barnsley.
Yeah, he was at Barnsley when they were in the Premier League, wasn't he?
So after he retired, he became a detective. So he's like specialised in forensics.
Really?
Yeah.
What, like murder? It's forensics when you're like looking for loose hair, DNA.
Yeah, so I think I saw an interview with him. He said he specialised in like drug trafficking and human trafficking. So
wow.
Yeah.
Which, as we know, is big in Dutch football.
Yeah, just ask Quincy Promise. And did you see this week, Mickey van de Ven gave an interview where he was talking about his dad being an undercover cop. So he said, "My dad was an undercover agent. He was working on the highest level criminals in Holland. I can't say too much. He did his work with other agents. They were based somewhere in the Netherlands and he was always there every day. He came back home late, always in different cars."
Goes, "I can't say too much," and then slightly blows his cover.
I like this image of Mickey van der Ven's dad spending the last 6 years deep undercover infiltrating some horrible drug trafficking gang, and then Mickey just gives it away in an interview with the BBC.
Sport Bible.
Do you remember also Henk ten Carter? He was the Chelsea assistant. No, I don't. Does anyone remember him? He was the Chelsea assistant manager to Avram Grant. Anyway, he was offered the Ajax job earlier this season when they were doing even worse than they are now. But he turned them down because he'd already accepted the role of chief inspector in a police series on Dutch TV.
Well, like a drama.
Yeah, he's playing a chief inspector.
A lot of cops.
Yeah, it seems like they're all either cops or robbers in Dutch football. It's like you've got Quincy Promise, obviously, as well. You've got your insider traders, you've got your
dirty sort of dogs.
Dirty dogs.
Yeah.
Quite an interesting phenomenon. If you've got any more examples of that, then please send them in.
That is a bizarre phenomenon. I love it.
I was looking into this more for some more examples and came across an academic article on JSTOR. That was all about this, about the infiltration of crime into Dutch football. And apparently it was something like 19% of amateur Dutch football clubs have been approached or some way involved with organised crime.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that just mean like people who are criminals play amateur football or like...
No, so I think the point of this article read from what I've read in the conclusion was that it's A, to do with like status. Because these like criminal gangs are often quite like infiltrated in the local communities and their sort of status within them is quite, they care about that. So being part of the football club was like a way to up your prestige.
Like how boxing is quite intertwined with.
Yeah. And at the same time, they're also very good for money laundering.
Yeah.
Which
might be
more important.
Sounds like a case for Henk ten Carter and Ian Dizou. Hang on, so Ian Dizou is a legitimate detective.
Ian's a
and Henk ten Carter is a sort of...
Ten Carter is a fictional detective.
Dick Van Dyke figure. Who also has a Dutch name.
And Mickey van der Ven's dad, we have no idea who he is.
Yeah.
He could be your friend, he could be your neighbour.
Although you can Google a picture of him. Now his cover's been blown. Poor bloke. While we're on the subject of extracurricular activities, I want to talk about mascots. The job of a mascot is to, you know, provide a bit of pre-match cheer, wave to the kids, pose for photos with a club legend. It is absolutely not an opportunity to leer at female fans, get their phone numbers, and compliment the women's team for having nice tits. But those are the allegations being thrown at QPR mascot Jude the Cat, who has been sacked this week for flirting with female fans. That's a direct quote. So the charges are actually quite unspecific. I don't think he did the things I mentioned, but they have directly said he was sacked for flirting with female fans. And apparently he also made a pervy comment to one of the women's team.
Whilst in costume.
Yeah, in costume. He hasn't been identified beyond Jude the Cat. Anyway, so these allegations came out. There was a bit of uproar. And then there was an interview with a, quote, source close to the cat, which is definitely not just
the mouse. Yeah, yeah.
The owner. Definitely not just the cat pretending to be a friend of the cat. Anyway, in this interview, he denied flirting with female fans. And here's one of my favourite quotes in the interview. He said, "The man behind the costume is a loyal QPR fan who brings a lot of happiness to match day, and he has been stitched up." And he also insisted people can't even hear his voice unless he takes the head off. So how could he flirt? And he said, of the claims that he'd been asking female fans for their phone numbers, "There are no pockets on the costume, so where is he going to put the numbers?" I was like, maybe in his phone. Do you think he can operate a phone with those giant claws?
I don't know. Maybe is there a way that they can sort of post their numbers through the eye slits or something?
I was thinking he could give them his phone number and say, "Text me." So
yeah.
Anyway, and also, flirting isn't just asking for phone numbers. It could be physical. You know what I mean? It could be sort of lingering with the female fans a bit too often.
Yeah, I'm thinking of maybe this is an idea for a new dating show. You know, there's these dating, like dating in the dark, that kind of thing. But dating in mascot costumes. Yeah. Isn't there is a weird dating show where people dress as animals or something, or they have like furries. Animal masks. Yeah.
Is that a fetish thing?
No, it's like a mainstream dating show.
Like MILF Manor.
A bit like MILF Manor.
There is a photo, by the way, doing the rounds of Jude getting his claws into a buxom female fan. But I think, sorry, I'm really lowering the tone today. This and the piss goblin. I think it's actually just an innocent photo with a female
fan.
He's
just giving her a hug, yeah. It's difficult to know without knowing more details on this, really.
Flirting is a hard crime to prove, I think. Yeah. But he could just be a bit of good natured.
Yeah, I assume they've received some complaints though.
If you this think?
I don't know how it's.
Well, the pervy comment to the women's team. I don't actually know if that's valid or not.
Was it just meow? Because that could be.
You've completely misconstrued what I meant.
He could be enrolled.
I was purring. You wanted a cat.
Have you heard about the rules about when the people in the costume can and can't take their hats off? It's really, really tightly guarded, and it's the first thing that they tell you in mascot training, supposedly, is like you have to keep the head on because they don't want to ruin the illusion. I first came across this rule in the summer when I went to Washington DC to cover Fulham's pre-season tour, and it was like 37 degrees and ridiculously humid in the height of summer in like late July, and this poor bugger wearing this like massive badger costume was just literally on the cusp of like floating in and out of consciousness, and they told him like, "No, you can't have any respite at all because we don't want to ruin it for the kids." And there was actually a story in this week's Pop Bitch to this effect. Did you see it?
Yeah.
So are you gonna go on it? So I've got it here. The title of the piece is called Cruise Control, and it says, "As one of the most tightly controlled brands on the planet, Disney has some very strict protocols around their cruises, especially regarding emergency evacuations. For instance, if a Disney cruise is to be abandoned, any employee who's in costume at the time of the alarm sounding must stay in costume."
What?
"They are not permitted to remove their heads to ruin the illusion for guests, so therefore have to navigate the deck dressed as a giant Mickey, Minnie, Chip, Dale, etc." There you go.
But doesn't it also say something like they can't, all the excess costumes need to be locked away because they don't want the image of like a dead Mickey Mouse floating in the water.
Yeah, elsewhere on the ship, it's somebody's job to head to the costume firm and slowly lock it all up. This is to ensure that if the ship does go down, the costumes go with it. They don't want to risk the empty costumes getting loose and floating up to the top, leaving children traumatised by seeing Goofy's lifeless body bobbing about on the surface.
Surely the children are going to be more traumatised by some poor employee like floating to the tip, like trapped at the window, clawing at the window.
It's a bit like the musicians on the Titanic continuing to play as the ship went down. Yeah. Mickey keeps waving.
Like, what about when they're trying to get into the evacuation boats and they can only fit like four of them in there
because they're a huge head. Just chuck him in the water, he'll just get hypothermic. Yeah, sounds like Jude the cat got off lucky with just being put down quietly. Anyway, he denies all the allegations, Jude, and I think I'm Team Jude. Also, someone told me that the top Premier League mascots make like 70 grand a year.
70 grand a year?
But isn't it only like a day a week?
Yeah.
Are they out in the community?
Do they have other roles? Yeah.
Sort of like opening church fates.
You know, chirpsing women in bars, apparently.
So the Masters Golf tees off today, and the stuffy green blazers at the Augusta National are probably spending these last hours manicuring the magnolias and reminding the door staff to check punters for scuffed cufflinks. But the whole twee country club vibe is about to be defiled by the arrival of the barbarians from LIV Golf. So we talked before about how this new LIV Golf Saudi breakaway thing is a little bit less sort of prim and proper than the PGA Tour. And these majors are the only time where those players from the two tours come together. So the LIV Tour is headed up by Greg Norman, who's a former golfer. He describes himself as a living brand. And
what does that mean?
I have no idea, but he did an interview last year and he gave a tour of his house. And as he was going around, he showed the cameras a life-size bronze bust of himself that he has inside his house. So that kind of gives you a sense of him.
Hasn't he also, sorry to lower the tone again, hasn't he also got a massive knob?
There was a picture that he shared himself.
I think I've seen a few angles.
Oh yeah.
He's got a big dick.
He's well endowed. Yeah.
Give him that.
That's what the brand is.
Yeah. Did you also see he did a pretty spiky interview last year or the year before where he was asked about the Saudi state, aka his employers at LIV Golf, and their involvement in the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, the journalist. And Greg Norman replied, "Look, we've all made mistakes and you just want to learn by those mistakes. It's all about how you correct them going forward."
Making it sound like it's like a bad golf swing.
Yeah. Look, we've all made mistakes. We all cut up journalists and carried them out of Turkish embassies and
bin bags.
Yeah. Anyway, there was a LIV tournament earlier this week, actually, at Donald Trump's Miami golf course. And Tyrell Hatton, who's the world number 19, ended up doing a shot into the rough and had a pretty foul-mouthed response.
Fucking what a wank bounce that was. If it fucking bounces left, it's fine. Fuck you. Fucking cunt.
I feel like on the PGA Tour, they would have cut away to some sort of wide-angle shot of like a babbling brook.
Yeah, with that music they always have.
Yeah, but LIV just zoom in and turn up the volume.
Yeah, that sort of makes me like LIV Golf more. Sorry to do a bit of sport washing.
Yeah.
It is just brasher, isn't it? To be fair, John Daly, who was the subject of our pod on Tuesday, he would be perfect for that vibe, but apparently they won't let him into LIV Golf.
Won't let him into Saudi Arabia,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, he has got slightly different values to the locals in Saudi. Did you see also on the subject of the Masters, Tiger Woods, he'll be there. He's obviously extremely unlikely to win it again after he had that mental car accident. But one of his friends did an interview saying, like, Tiger's really focused this year. He believes he can win it. He's even refraining from sex, which for Tiger Woods, to be fair,
that's impressive.
That's how much he wants it. Good luck to him. Finally, Zach, we come across a lot of pretty unusual names from the world of sport in our job, don't we? There's the college footballer Rowdy Beers. There's the Heracles striker Jiz Hornkamp. So thanks to Jorge, who emailed us about the late NASCAR driver Dick Trickle. Apparently when he died, the American news stations described him as the colourfully named Dick Trickle. But it's going to take something special to dethrone our latest discovery, Peruvian midfielder Osama Bin Laden, which is pronounced in Peru, Bin Laden. So yeah, this guy was born a year after 9/11. And
topical.
Yeah, I think his dad's a bit of a character, let's say. Yeah. So he named him Osama Bin Laden, and he's actually got a brother called Saddam Hussein. And the dad wanted to call their third child George Bush, but they had a girl. So I think she just got...
Georgia Bush?
No, I think she weirdly just got like a traditional Peruvian name. She's like Andrea Alvarez or something. But they are Bin Laden.
Osama, Saddam and Andrea. Yeah. I saw another interview with him. I think he was asked about the name, and he was like, yes, well, Osama Bin Laden was a very fashionable name at the time.
Was it?
I'm not sure it was. I mean, it was definitely talked about. I don't know if it's the same thing.
I guess his dad wasn't expecting him to become like a professional footballer in the spotlight.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice.
Yeah, he's good in the air.
Lethal in the air.
Lethal in the air. Right, on that note, I think that's all we've got time for, isn't it?
Charming way to finish.
All right, keep the funny names coming. If you have spotted a hook-handed midfielder called Abu Hamza playing in Denmark or something, let us know. Join us on Tuesday's pod. We're doing marathons with a particular focus on the utterly insane 1904 Olympic marathon where they like drank poison, they deliberately dehydrated, they were chased by wild dogs and more.
Yeah, it was mad.
It's a seriously mad story. And we talk about a few other mental marathon moments because, of course, it is the London Marathon coming up. Anyway, so look out for that. I would say that's one of my favourite episodes we've done. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it's us three. It's me, Zach and George. Anyway, thanks a lot for listening. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks a lot.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.